Welcome to the Path of Reason. This is going to be a blitz of podcasts 12 through 14. This is Adam, and with me is Derek.
Hello.
Based on feedback from one of our listeners, they said that basically the arguments presented by this Christian listener were very trite, to say the least, and quite boring, which we agreed with. So just to, satisfy this Christian listener's responses or whatever points they think prove their religion, we're just going to go through them really quick because they really don't merit any time whatsoever, but we'll just respond to them regardless just to get it out there. So, Derek, Derek?
I was going to say, we knew they were kind of stupid from the beginning. We more or less want to go through these to point out how literally ignorant and delusional people can be.
Right.
I mean, we've heard better arguments than this, but this is the best that we've gotten.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so Derek is going to start things off with 11, and we're just going to alternate all the way to number 40.
He says, as far as cults are concerned, their counterfeit miracles are of demonic origin. One must consider the source. Well, first of all, there are no such thing as miracles in any way, shape, or form, regardless of who claims to be having these miracles. And I'm guessing he's talking about other religions, and when other religions say that, you know, they have miracles and they have things that are of supernatural origins or whatever to prove the existence of their gods. Well, no miracles can be backed up with proof, and you can't prove that a demon or God or any of these imaginary beings are creating these miracles. So again, the whole concept of this is ridiculous.
All right, on to number 12. The Christian says, human nature says, what's in it for me? The new kind of self-sacrificial love revealed in the good news is, what can I do for the sake of others? One simple example of how this is not true is in the Bible, in the often referenced Numbers chapter 31, verses 7 through 18, where Moses tells his men to kill everyone but to save for themselves every girl who has never slept with a man. There are many other examples of immorality in the Bible, and you can actually, there's a really good site you can go to called evilbible.com that has a ton of verses that directly contradict the self-sacrificial love supposedly revealed by this Bible or whatever. But the teachings of self-sacrifice precede the Bible, and just because it does teach something moral doesn't mean the religion itself is true. Derek.
All right. He says, now, Christianity is a pretty ingeniously constructed philosophical system, and it does deflect argument well because it's true. Well, basically, first of all, yeah, there are some good philosophical ideas in Christianity, but they're taken from other places and other concepts. There are many different religions and many different philosophical systems that are a lot better than Christianity, but I'm sure this guy has researched them all, which I'm obviously joking, but Buddhism, you know, Confucianism, many other different ideas that, you know, existed, even ones that have existed predating Christianity. So just because the Bible says do unto others, you know, as they would do unto you, does not necessarily mean, while it is a good idea, it doesn't necessarily mean it's original to Christianity, but I'm sure, you know, with a little bit of research, this guy will find that out.
Exactly. All right, number 14. Atheists seem to be a bulwark of strength when it comes to disaster, misfortune, and death. And when they do eventually confront you, as sure as I am confronting you now, you will fold like an old wet pup tent. The first prayer you'll utter is, God help me. Okay, now this is a common saying that I'm sure a lot of atheists have heard, saying that there are no atheists in foxholes, meaning that atheists will break down under the pressure of threats or danger and pray to God for help. For this Christian responder, I'd recommend checking out atheistfoxholes.org, amongst many other atheist organizations, particularly involved with the military. And again, this still proves nothing of this person's religion.
Not to mention, atheists are too busy fighting, while Christians are too busy praying when it comes to fights and hardcore war situations.
Exactly.
The atheist demands empirically verifiable truths. This argument is propounded due to the lack of present empirical evidence. But God is spirit, and spirit cannot be put in a test tube. Well, neither can the flying spaghetti monster, or the invisible pink unicorn, or Zeus, or Ra. I mean, this is almost like a cop-out argument. God is a spirit, and spirit cannot be put in a test tube. Of course, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something that you're going to say. That's like the biggest cop-out argument I've ever heard. It's like, oh, well, since God can't be put in a test tube, you know, there's no way you can really prove it. It's true or not.
Right.
But he even himself says, you know, it's propounded due to the lack of empirical evidence.
Exactly.
So he's saying there's no proof, no empirical evidence. But God is a spirit, and you can't put it in a test tube. I wonder what church he heard that at.
Yeah, how convenient.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, number 16. That's why he came in the person of Jesus Christ, so that men could have something to examine as evidence of the existence of God apart from his creation. All right, people have only ancient scriptures to examine, which hardly prove anything about the existence of Jesus, let alone God. Next.
Yeah, exactly. God has already manifested himself to humanity in many ways which are adequately recorded in history apart from the Bible. Josephus, for example, and Eusebius. Josephus thought that the mandrake root would kill him if he actually pulled it out of the ground itself. I know this is like a deep thing. Only people who've read Josephus will actually get this reference. But he was so superstitious that he believed that he needed a horse to pull a certain root out of the ground, because just by pulling the root out of the ground, it was said to be able to, you know, have the power to kill a human if they heard its screams. I'm serious, it sounds like something out of Harry Potter, but this is an actual ancient superstition. And Josephus himself believed this nonsense. So I think when somebody is that ignorant as far as the times go, you gotta really question a lot of the other stuff he says. Not to mention, not a whole lot of stuff Josephus says can actually be backed up by hardcore evidence, but that's for people who actually take the time to read Josephus and not just quote a couple of things he said, like most Christians.
Right. All right, number 18. The atheist arguments against God will appear equally baseless, absurd, and flawed in that they are based upon the assumptive premise that the universe is, and therefore it has always been. No, this is untrue, and shows this person's lack of education in science. For example, in March of this year, astronomers announced that the universe is approximately 13.73 billion years old based on precision measurements of the oldest light in the universe, along with other data gathered. Again, this still proves nothing of this person's religion, only that they are ignorant in regards to science. Number 19.
Other assertions include variants of the Big Bang Theory. These assertions stem from a belief system as equally unprovable. No, we can prove the universe is expanding. We can prove that the Big Bang occurred. Again, refer to science.
Alright, number 20. God cannot be put in a test tube. He is not subject to our examination and approval, but is above it. That is because he is God. This is the same thing Derek mentioned above, just said in more words. Now, I'm going to say this and use it as an argument against the Christian person, and let's see if they think it sounds as an equally valid argument. The invisible pink unicorn cannot be put in a test tube. She is not subject to our examination and approval, but is above it. That is because she is the invisible pink unicorn. Number 21.
Apart from legislation influenced by the principles of God, we would have anarchy. each man doing that which is right in his own eyes, because the natural tendencies of man are toward rebellion, and what keeps him in line are the attendant enforceable penalties. So he's saying the only reason that we behave is because of God, and that humans have natural tendencies towards rebellion, and the only thing that keeps them in line are apparently the morals and the legislation influenced by the principles of God. Well, guess what? China is an atheistic country. They don't follow anything from the Bible. And basically, they aren't going wild, killing each other, going insane natural tendencies towards rebellion. I mean, granted, their government is a little strict, but I mean, there are many cultures that have existed before any of the concepts of anything from your God have even come about, and people were okay. These rules and laws in the Bible were meant to keep a very barbaric culture, the ancient Jews, under control, because they were barbarians in and of themselves. Mm-hmm. There were other civilized cultures at the time, such as the Egyptians and the Greeks and the Romans. There were other cultures that were very ignorant and almost barbaric, and they needed these rules to keep them in check. And that's why most of these things were created.
Right. Number 22. I don't flaunt... This is funny. You all right?
Yeah, it just makes me laugh.
I know. Okay, number 22. I don't flaunt, quote, high-mindedness, unquote, as you do, nor do I attempt to put forth any pretense or even try to impress others with my wit. Yes, we know. Number 23.
Yeah, I just want to say that dude sums up everything pretty much. You don't flaunt high-mindedness.
Right.
You don't try to impress anyone with your wit. In fact, you apparently try to unimpress everyone. Like, okay. I want to sound so stupid that they're going to be like, hey, he's not even trying to impress us with his wit.
Okay. All right.
How do we determine truth? Truth is determined by observation in most instances. Okay, he's setting us up with the most instances.
Okay.
Scripture says, for example, that the things of God are foolishness to those who are perishing. These things are foolishness to you. Therefore, it is truth. So, oh boy, this one hurts my brain. Everything in the world that you consider stupid is the truth, because you're perishing. That's basically, the things of God are foolishness to those who are perishing. These things are foolish to you, therefore it is truth. I've seen people overdose on drugs who thought cheeseburgers were talking to them. Therefore, it's true. A cheeseburger's really talking because you're perishing. Oh, come on, man. This is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Sorry about my
brother. Yeah, that's okay.
But I'm serious.
Yeah, well...
I mean, just...
Foolishness to those who are perishing. Well, everyone is perishing. You know, yeah. So it's like... Okay.
Even Christians.
All right. Okay, number 24. The Apostle Paul hated Christians and Christianity, even killed and jailed many. Yeah, he saw the error of his ways and was converted. That tells me that there is hope for you too. As long as you are still breathing, you haven't blown it yet, and you are doing better than you deserve. Well, thank you for that. That makes me want to believe in that right away. Okay, Derek and I were talking about this, how like Paul, how he must have had a hard time finding Christians to kill since there were so little of them at the time. But again, this, you know, it proves nothing.
Yeah, so. I mean, this question we could probably go on for a long time, but like, I mean, the only person who ever said he killed any Christians was Paul. When Nero ordered the deaths of the Christians in Rome for what he said they lit the fires of Rome, he blamed them, and then there was some killing of Christians, but beyond that, there was no massive massacres of Christians going on. They were a mystery cult. People were just like, oh, you know, some of these people are Christians, but it's like, there weren't established churches. There were tiny groups of people
right.
scattered all over the place, and
usually Paul, in secret.
Yeah, usually in secret. So to like say that you went around killing these people and tracking them down, and he hated Christians and Christianity, that was ridiculous. It's so stupid.
Right.
It's just another clear attempt to blame Jews for being murderous, for one, and two, Paul himself was what I consider the Joseph Smith of Christianity. He wanted his own personal gain, so he made a lot of crap up.
Right.
Anyway, I was as much a skeptic as you are now, seeking proofs as you do, but I was truly objective, open-minded, and fair, considering all the evidences and their sources, and I found all of these answers I required before I gave in, and I'm not naturally a trusting person. Please refer to www.answersingenesis.org for more. I just threw that in because clearly he's not being open-minded, and he's not being objective, and he's not being fair.
Right.
He just took one book and said, hey, this works for me, and I'm going to do whatever I can to try to prove it to myself because I'm too afraid to really research.
Exactly.
And that happens. That happens to us all. There was a point in my life where I was afraid to keep asking questions because I was so afraid of what I was going to find out.
Right.
Because since you're young, you have this stuff forced in your head. Like, yeah. it's true, don't question it. Right. But then you start thinking, why would they keep saying this? Why would they say don't question it? Because it isn't true.
Right. Derek and I were truly objective, open-minded, and fair, and that's why we came to this conclusion. Moving on to number 26, the Ten Commandments are not to restrict our liberty, but to ensure it. They have our highest good in esteem. Now, even if all the commandments were reasonable, which obviously they're not, it proves nothing about the religion itself. It's a set of rules that some people came up with, supposedly given by God, and I don't know why this person is even saying this.
I know why he's saying it. In answer number 27, you can see why our land is in trouble today, because liberals have kicked God out of public life and are seeking to establish a pagan society dependent upon government as its benefactor.
Right.
Well, first of all, the fact that he uses the word liberal pretty much sums up his entire education system. I'm guessing he lives in the South. It pretty much sums up his feelings. He has hatred towards people who are seeking change and open-minded. I mean, I'm not saying every quote-unquote liberal concept is good.
Right.
But he sounds like your typical ignorant redneck.
Looking at things in black and white.
Yeah.
When they shouldn't, yeah.
But first of all, because liberals have kicked God out of public life, what the hell are you talking about? God, and you can walk down the street and see signs and people holding up things for churches. Come to Texas, there's a church every 20 feet. You're telling me God out of public life? God is in my public life. I mean, not literally, but the concept, the idea. Everywhere I go in Texas, I see something having to do with Christianity or the Christian God or Jesus. I mean, come on. Liberals aren't seeking a pagan society. We want freedom for everybody. If you want to worship Jesus, knock yourself out. But if somebody wants to worship Allah or Buddha or anybody else, they should have a right to without you talking crap to them because you don't like it.
Right.
If anybody wants to, like, this comes back to that argument when prayer, like, oh, when prayer was taken out of school, that's when everything went to crap. Well, no kidding. At the same exact time, women also received the right to vote, and slavery ended, and segregation ended too, so you could clearly blame things like that. But okay, you're absolutely right. Let's get rid of those concepts because slavery is okay in the Bible, mm-hmm. and women's rights don't even exist in the Bible.
Exactly.
So if you want to talk about liberals, how would you take a step back 100 years
mm-hmm.
and think about the progression? So they want to say, taking prayers out of school is the reason for all this insanity. Not just that, if you want to blame something, segregation, women's right to vote, the earliest liberal concepts, are also, you could say, contributing factors. So how about we just tell women right now they don't deserve a right to vote? And how about we say, okay, blacks, we gave you a shot, you screwed up, back to slavery, because Bible says it's okay.
Right.
Because liberals gave you a chance, but we conservatives want things back to the way they were. God, I hate these people.
All right. Number 28. Mature people see the futility of a thing and agree to disagree and go on. All you have to fall back on is name-calling, censorious criticism, and ridicule. But I have yet to hear a substantive, viable argument from your position in this matter. Alright, we have evidence and rationality to fall back on, and if you don't see that in our website and our podcast, then you're not looking. As far as not giving a viable argument, I think that is all this person has done with all 40 of these reasons for their belief. So we might throw in some name calling here and there just out of pure frustration over hearing the same mindless arguments over and over again, but we're human, you know, and we do try and educate people in between the name calling. So if you can get past that, then maybe you'll learn something.
Right. See, now since you are in the minority, the burden of proof is yours to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that God does not exist. I actually hear this all the time, and Christians do not understand what they are trying to say. That we need to somehow prove beyond a reasonable doubt that their God does not exist. How can you disprove or prove that something doesn't exist if it doesn't exist? That's right. Ridiculous. It's like the burden of proof does not lie on the people who don't believe in it. The burden of proof relies on the people who do. You have to be able to prove that there's something to believe in. Right. It's not up to us to disprove something that doesn't exist. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. Because you could say that for anything.
Anything.
Anything imaginary, you could say, well, I believe it to exist, but since you don't believe unicorns don't exist, then you prove that they don't exist. It doesn't make any sense.
And I want empirical evidence. I want hard, factual, substantial evidence that unicorns don't exist. Come on, give it to me. Why would there be stories of unicorns if they didn't exist?
Exactly.
They must exist. There's stories. There's stories about leprechauns. Clearly, there must be leprechauns.
There have been eyewitnesses for these things.
Yes. Yeah. There are rainbows. There are pots of gold all over. There's gold in this world. There's Lucky Charms. Clearly, leprechauns exist.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're on 30?
Yeah, you're on 30.
Okay. Number 30. Evolution, the atheist friend, should be called a hypothesis, for it doesn't merit the honor of being called a theory, let alone being considered a fact. Okay, should evolution be called a hypothesis? Because you apparently know so much about science. Only a Christian would change a theory to a hypothesis because it doesn't merit the honor of something. Thank goodness that most scientists are atheists, or we'd still believe that the sun revolves around the earth because it was the more honorable thing to believe.
Yeah, not to mention that epilepsy is caused by demonic possession.
Right, right, of course.
Alright, number 31. If I were you, I would seriously reconsider the effort which would have been required to refute the entire Bible. For your comments and observations have been beggarly and weak, totally inappropriate, and insufficient to the task. Are you kidding me? Let's just think about what we have researched and written, that entire article about epilepsy and demonic possession. I mean, it was broken down to the language. I don't need to be a biblical scholar to refute the concept that a demon caused a boy to have epilepsy. Epilepsy is not caused by demonic possession. Mm-hmm. Anyone with common basic knowledge in science today knows this is true. Ancient people did not. I don't think our observations have been weak or inappropriate. Yeah, inappropriate maybe to a Christian because they make you sound stupid, but clearly we did the research, something that Christians have a very difficult time doing. They don't want to research beyond the words they read in the new abridged modern translation of the Bible written for evangelicals. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
With passages in the side that, you know, are ridiculous, not historical that no scholar would actually believe, that Christians read and they think it's true because, oh, I got this Bible at my church, my pastor recommended it, it has to be true because it makes me feel all warm and cuddly inside. No, it's written that way. It's written that way on purpose to keep you stupid.
Exactly.
It's not historical, it has no value, and you're being force-fed garbage, which you are processing back to us. But you just can't realize it.
Right. Alright, number 32. Now, just because you don't believe something doesn't invalidate its existence, and conversely, just because something is repeated many times doesn't necessarily make it true. You may say there is no God, but that doesn't make it true or even make him go away. Now, out of all 40 things, I think this is the one point I agree with in a strange way. We say there is no God because there is no proof. If there was proof for God's existence, then we would acknowledge that. It's true that just because we don't believe in God doesn't mean he doesn't exist, but it also means that just because there is no evidence for leprechauns doesn't mean they don't exist. I mean, because when you think about what he says, it does make sense. Just because you don't believe something doesn't invalidate its existence, and conversely. So in a way, this argument works for us more than them. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So that's why it just doesn't make any sense.
The next, he says, so unless you take the time to learn Greek and Hebrew, any work you undertake in refutation of the Bible will appear to be baseless and absurd to those scholars whose specialty and field it is to know all there is to know about the Bible. Well, congratulations. I'm sure you've taken the time to learn Greek and Hebrew. Well, actually, I have spent a lot of time trying to learn Hebrew. And guess what? Any scholar out there today that can speak Hebrew knows that there are parts of the Bible that are meant, and that there are parts of the Bible that were written specifically to fit the culture of the time. The only people who disagree are creationist evangelical Christians who cannot read Greek or Hebrew and have not done studies of the ancient cultures, who try to force feed their simple-minded followers to believe they know stuff about the Bible that is not true. People like Josh McDowell, for instance. This man cannot read Greek or Hebrew, and he goes around trying to pretend he's a biblical scholar. Bart Ehrman can read Hebrew and Greek, and when he writes a book refuting ignorant Christian claims, idiots like Josh McDowell jump up and down and cry and kick and scream, saying that he's just a crazy agnostic who wants to disprove the Bible, but he cannot back up anything he has to say with Greek or Hebrew. Right. So the most intelligent scholars out there can read Greek and Hebrew, and these people will tell you right to your stupid evangelical face that there are parts in the Bible that are myth written, especially the Old Testament, that these things were just written by the culture of the time to explain natural phenomenon that could not otherwise be explained by the ancient human mind.
Right.
Anyone can know this. It's just because you have been force-fed lies since a very young age.
And the Greek and Hebrew scholars, you know, who know the languages, they can actually point out the mistranslations.
Yeah.
You know, so the other quote-unquote scholars can't even do that. That's why they don't even bother.
This entire proof, quote-unquote, that he gave us works against itself.
Right.
Because I seriously would be hard-pressed to find an actual scholar who spoke Greek and Hebrew and could read the entire Old Testament text and, you know, New Testament from the Septuagint, you know, down to the Torah, who would tell me that it's totally factual and every single thing is true. Because even the entire Genesis story as you read it in the English Bible is not what it really says. You read it in Hebrew, it sounds totally different.
Right.
But again, it just goes to show how people are just willing to spout off nonsense without actually doing the research. So, whatever.
Alright, number 34. Also, evolutionists cannot explain the second law of thermodynamics. According to their theory, things are building up into the ultimate domain of man. As far as I can understand, okay, the second law of thermodynamics demonstrates that all things are wearing out and breaking down, and order tends towards disorder. Alright, now this is another dead argument that creationists continue to use despite its irrelevance to evolution. They unsurprisingly misinterpret the second law of thermodynamics, and for those creationists who actually care to research what it means, check out the information on it at talkorigins.org. They have really simple, laid out explanation of what that is and how it's misinterpreted and what it actually means in relation to science.
Yeah.
Christians like to throw out thermodynamics because it usually throws off an atheist or a non-believer or whatever who's not, you know, familiar with it. And they really, I think, just like to say, oh, well, the second law of thermodynamics, you know, like to sound like they know what they're talking about when it actually does the complete opposite. So they should seriously stop using it, because it just shows their ignorance rather than that they know what they're talking about.
The easiest way to get, if like an atheist ever comes across this, well, I would recommend at least knowing what evolution is and what thermodynamics is,
right?
If you are, you know, if you do, you know, are an atheist, or, I mean, you don't necessarily have to be. I mean, I know many Christians who understand thermodynamics and evolution, but if a creationist ever says some dumb nonsense, like the second law of thermodynamics, whatever, ask them to explain to you what the second law of thermodynamics is. That's the easiest way to get around this argument, because I have found that 10 times out of 10, they do not even know what the second law of thermodynamics actually states, nor will they ever even be able to define evolution. That's another thing. Whenever I hear a creationist say evolution is not true, I say, well, can you please define evolution? And they can't.
Right.
They are just spouting off nonsense that they've read on a creationist website, but they don't even know what they're actually talking about.
Exactly.
So, is number 35 mine?
Yep.
There's actually not one shred of evidence that one species sprang from another. Yeah. With evolution, there's no explanation for the arts, sciences, or any other pursuit nobility in human essence seeks to provide for its own kind. There's insane amounts of evidence, first of all, but second, there's no explanation for the arts, sciences, or any other pursuit. Oh my. Okay.
The human mind, maybe?
Yes. Okay, I'm not gonna like go into insane detail here. There are numerous books you can read. There are a ton of things that explain why humans think the way they do and why we are the way we are. We started off from a very primitive, you know, weapon-making type animal, and we have evolved into what we are now. But, I mean, what does the arts, sciences, or any other pursuit, nobility, and human essence have to do with evolution at all? I mean, sure, it's a progression of the human mind and time, but, I mean, there's one species sprang from another. Yeah, there's a lot of evidence.
Right.
This question makes my head hurt.
Yeah, it's just demonstrating yet another way in which this person doesn't understand evolution.
Yeah.
Moving on to number 36. An atheist can complain that we, quote, can never know enough to be absolutely sure, unquote. But this is a test which applies to everything. Again, is this supposed to be a statement against us or for us? Because I don't really see anything wrong with it. What's wrong with saying we can never absolutely be sure about something, and that this is a test that applies to everything? You know, that's an objective way to look at something. So,
yeah, I guess so. The next one kind of ties into it. don't let the argument of knowing divert you from the reality that there is a true knowledge of God. It is a given that we will never know all about him, but that does mean that we do know what we do know is worthless. What? Adam, do we have to do this anymore? This is ridiculous.
We're almost there. We're almost there.
Okay. It is a given that we will never know all about him, but that doesn't mean that what we do know is worthless. What is he talking about?
How is it a given? Do you want to say anything else to that?
There's nothing. Okay. I mean, these arguments are self-refuting.
Okay.
They're not even arguments. Well, he must have sat there in front of his computer with a hammer, hitting himself in the head with a hammer, and just writing whatever came to mind.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
That's why they keep getting dumber as they go along.
He's like, well, I already said I have to do 40, so I have to make 40. How can I do this? Yeah, I gotta stretch out the last 10 or 20. All right,
yeah.
Number 38. Why do you insist on battling the Bible and Christianity? Because you consider yourself to be a self-appointed atheistic patriot bent on saving the world from the bane of Christianity? A simple answer, yes. Okay, number 39.
Life is too short to spend it fighting against God. Many have engaged in the practice of warring against God and the Bible for centuries, but to no avail. Okay, I really don't know anyone who waged a war against the Bible. I mean, maybe Hitler burned books, but he was a Christian. You're right, though. Life is too short to spend it fighting against God. But we don't spend our lives fighting against God. We spend our lives trying to educate ignorant people like you. It's not even has anything to do with your God. We're not fighting against an imaginary being. Mm. We are fighting against the ignorance and the constant nonsense that you put forth. This is going to sound really sad, and it's a sad thing to have to say about people, but there are people out there who will listen to this idiot's arguments and say, that really does make sense to me. It means that not only is this guy an idiot, but he's like an idiot leading other idiots. I mean, people are stupid. They don't want to question things. These arguments that I've read are the dumbest arguments I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
And you're right, my life is too short to spend it fighting against you or your imaginary friend.
Right.
But I would really hope that you would, if you are going to believe, you would keep your stupid, ignorant nonsense to yourself, because you are just dumbing down our culture.
Right.
And it's because of people like you that humans are in the situation we are in. You want to blame godlessness. I blame total sheer ignorance.
And lack of critical thinking. And tolerance. And a progressive outlook on life in general. And finally, with number 40, it says, there are more Christians now than ever have been in history, and the numbers are growing daily. Why? Because of these things. Your proof. The testimony of your consciousness. The testimony of creation. The testimony of a firmly established and verifiably credible revelation. Whatever that means. The testimony of changed lives out of the dregs of humanity. And the testimony of specifically and many times miraculously answered prayers. These are evidences of the existence of God. No, they aren't. It's just ramblings based on your own personal experience, as is everything that has been said in all 40 of these points. So I'm sorry to say, but these are not even close to legitimate reasons for believing what you believe, and if you thought they were, then that tells us why you believe what you believe. So we appreciate anyone who actually did get through that with us. Like I said, we tried to go through it as fast as we could, because they really don't merit any other explanation beyond the ones that we've given. And again, if there's any Christians out there who can refute, don't try not to bring up any of these things that this person said, because they're not going to convince anyone. Whether they're an atheist, a theist, a Muslim, anyone, no one will believe these. Because hopefully they're, you know, somewhat intelligent human beings. But if you have other arguments, something else that really, really think is a good one, you know, send us an email and we'll be more than happy to address maybe a more well thought out argument.
Yeah, a quote comes to mind to me after reading this, and I think that it really encompasses everything that this guy has said. And the quote goes a little something like this: "What you have just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul."
Oh, that's what, that's from Billy Madison, right?
Yeah, that comes to my brain every single time I hear some stupid thing. I mean, this was difficult to get through, and I apologize to every one of our loyal listeners who had to listen to it, but we just felt like we had to.
We had to put this smug Christian in their place, because they were totally calling us out and saying that, oh, I can come up with 40 reasons and you can't say anything. But obviously it failed miserably, so.
And I mean, I know we didn't spend a lot of time, and I'm sure our responses could have been a lot more detailed, but I mean, this was just nonsense. I mean, it was difficult to force our way through this.
Yep, but we did. So, I don't know. We deserve a medal or something.
Yeah, Olympics.
Yeah.
Michael Phelps ain't got shit on us.
Alright. Did you want to say anything else?
No, my head hurts.
Okay. Alright, well, thanks to everyone for listening. Derek, do you want to just say real quick what's coming up for the next podcast?
Oh, video? Yeah. Well, I'm actually working on something that, you know, what I consider a really, really important thing to start exploring. And it's basically going to start covering some of the sales tactics that Christianity uses to manipulate and gain followers. And I'm going to start breaking down church services and a lot of the propaganda campaigning that they do. And I'm going to use actual sales tactics that, you know, I learned as a salesman, and you know, intertwine them with how religion sells the idea of their religion to you by, you know, appealing to your more emotional side rather than your rational side. And, you know, I'm going to show in detail how, you know, people are easily manipulated like they are. So, I mean, it's like a big thing I'm working on, and hopefully it'll do some good.
Awesome. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. And keep following the path of reason.